Frank Sherriston, Reel One. Can you tell me where you were born and when that was?
Just down the road here in Chipperall. Number one, May Terrace. Right?
What year were you born in?
I was born in 1916.
Can you tell me what your parents did?
My parents... my father was a wheelwright. My mother, when she came to Chipperall and married my father, was a teacher. But she was born originally in Australia, Adelaide, Australia.
Did your father own his own business?
Yes. He owned the wheelwright shop with his partner just up the road.
And had his father been a wheelwright too?
No, his father was a farmer. Well, farm labourer then.
Sorry. I'll just move that back in. And can you remember much about your childhood in the village?
Well, I used to like playing football. Matter of fact, I was the youngest one in the teacher team, school team. I was 9 years old. And I played football at school until I was 14.
Did you go to the village school?
I went to the village school. If you wanted to go to a grammar school, you had to pass an exam, which I turned about too much. I suppose I didn't educate myself enough. So I only got 94 marks out of 100, which weren't good enough. But the ones that used to win it, actually in the village, they had three people who got the highest marks in the old county to get the grammar school.
What was the school like? How many pupils were there?
Oh, about 100 or so, 120, something like that.
Did you have to wear school uniforms?
No school uniforms. Just a pair of short trousers and a pullover.
Do you remember anything about the classes?
Well, when I was 14, the class was only about 7 or 8 in there. Okay. But before that, they were, say, 20, 30, perhaps in the small, and then you go down to the children's, really, baby classes. They were quite a bit more than that, it's about 14 or something like that.
Do you remember anything about the lessons you were given?
No, I don't. normal thing, mental arithmetic, English. All those similar things what they get now, but not quite so complicated to my mind. Useless as well. Anyway, that's better than what I remember. I often like to go into that because I can't remember.
You left school at 14?
Yes.
What did you do after that?
I went to work for my father, who was a wheelwright. And I became apprentice wheelwright.
And how long was your apprenticeship?
5 years.
And what did you have to do to learn how to become a wheelwright?
I just saw timber, lengths of timber for the shafts, and actually make, it's complicated trade really. I mean, if you look at a wagon, if you're a hay wagon, there's lots of carriages, what they call the carriage in the front, and that hole had to be made especially where the rings on them so it turns and revolves. And the wheels that you made are all dish wheels, like they make, which they carried on in later life to car wheels, because you cannot have an upright wheel, it's got to be dished, else it'll collapse under you. We used to make them. I turn up the stocks, that's the centre part of the wheel, hit the spokes in, and they all were staggered. All the spokes were staggered. And we used to put the, have a tyre, the blacksmith, we had a blacksmith who used to make the tyres. And we used to put them in an oven, which, you know, all the timber, scratch timber, used to put in, keep it fired up, and it came out red hot. And there was a disc outside, freshly made, for laying the wheels on and clamping it down. And we said, and the, us boys, the young youngsters then, used to have the old spot to go around cooling the tyre off as it was being hammered down over the wheel, which clamped everything up together. But there was about a quarter inch gap between each belly, whose belly, I don't know, which makes the circumference of the wheel. Anyway.
What sort of wheels did you make? For what sort of vehicles?
Well, different couple of Warner wheels, which were mostly on a metal stock. And the others were big, heavy cart wheels, like what they used on the road for eventually taking over by tip wagons and things like that. But these were tip carts. They used to use them on the road for bringing all the gravel and everything down to make the roads. Quite heavy, they were to lift up.
Was it just you and your father at the wheel?
No, it was eventually my cousin, one of my cousins, he came out to work with us. And also there was my father's partner, my father, and one or two others worked there at that time.
Where was the workshop?
Up the other end of the bridge. You would know, if I told you, you wouldn't know, would you?
What is it now? Is it still a...
No, it is a motorcycle shop now. It's repair and sell motorcycles.
How long were you working as a wheelwright?
Till, I was 20 years old. I was apparently up to the time I went to the Navy.
What did you do in your spare time as a young man?
I used to do a lot of cycling. And one of the trips I made was to Glasgow and back. Also, I used to build flat bottom boats, which they used on the fleet, which I made six of, and sold three of them.
Sell three of them.
Sell three of them. Rest I kept myself. One got smashed up during the war on the jetty. The rest of the one at the rear one I got now is down by the garden there.
When was the last time you used that?
Last year. No, not the year before, because it got broken up with all these vandals. Not broken up, but the chain, I lost the oars, so they cut the chain, lost the oars, and landed up in the Abbey Saunery. And I didn't know where it was. We went all on there, but evidently it sunk, and down in the mud at Abbey Saunery. Anyway, the Hurt Swan Herder of Abbotsbury Swanery was a Chitwell boy originally. And we rang him up and asked him if he'd seen a boat out there. And he said no at that time. But later on he rang back up, months later, and he said, I found a boat, it might be yours. So we went up and seen it, and that's what it was, my boat, right on down the bottom there.
So that was a boat you made in the 1930s?
It's after the war, yeah. Sometime after the war, that was the last one. I suppose maybe that one's about 14 years old.
And did you make, going back to the time before you went into the Navy, did you make boats then?
Yeah. fall on the 90th and wear a pant. A duck pant. You know, they used to go duck shooting for it with, you know. But it was a big, big one. I didn't make it for shooting ducks. I made it for going over the beach. And that one I've come across the fleet, which is about half a mile over, with about 10 of us on it. All set back. We couldn't breathe. If you breathe too badly, you should give up. I can't explain to you what a duck punt looks like, can I?
Yes, of course you can.
Can I? Well, it's a long, long, thin, double-ended thing. And they're about 4 foot wide on the bottom. And the sides, about 9 inches. 9 inches, I think, in depth. And also, there's blade out. And then they're decked in again from the sides. You see, so far in. Which is yours. And the nose are all built in, right to the front there, to about the length of your body. You want a length of your body to lay in the well of these boats, you see. And that's how they were made.
And when did you make that?
When I was about, before the war. When I was about 17 or 18, like that. I can't quite remember.
Did you make any other boats before you went into the Navy?
No. That's the only one I made. I only made that to get over to the beach, because we used to do a lot of sand fishing over there then. Thousands and thousands and hundredweights of mackerel from such.
What did you do with the mackerel? Did you sell it or did you eat it?
Yeah, I know. They had dealers come to buy it from Poole. All over the place, London. I signed up in London. There used to be a lot of eels caught down on the fleet. Used to do with the eel pecks stabbing in the mud, which actually now is all worked out. But they used to catch pounds, hundredweights and hundredweights of eels and send to London. And then the rest of me down, you know, we loaned eels down here. You used to catch all sorts of things over there. You weren't allowed to catch cod and things like that, but they were caught and ate before anybody ever seen them, you see, and sold privately. All sorts of things went on. But you'd get in the village and nobody could get over there to look at anyway, because you're about half a mile from the shore. Unless you had a boat, you couldn't get there. So that's my life. Really, part of it. From there, I was supposed to go and I went round to Southampton and Poole, trying to join the Navy. I didn't have to join the Navy because I could be exempt, you see, because I was on World War Farmers work, you see. So I could have been, you know, stayed out if I wanted to, but I didn't.
Can I ask you, why did you choose the Navy?
Because I'm at war. See, I've been on a boat. Yeah. My sons have had boats. Both of them had boats. My eldest son, he was in the Merchant Navy on tankers and all over the world. Everywhere. And then he got married and his wife didn't want him to go off, so he stayed home and got a job on the council then. He worked on the council.
Can I ask you, when did you join the Navy? What year was that?
Like 2021.
So that would have been 1937-38? Or had war already started?
War already started then.
So a bit older perhaps.
Yeah. I was 20 years old when I joined. I was 21 years old, something like that. Oh, I don't know really. I got papers and all that.
Well, it was after the war had started, was it?
Yes, it was after the war had started.
So you volunteered?
Yeah, I volunteered.
And how did you go about joining?
Well, that was what I was going to try to tell you. Yeah. I tried Southampton and Paul. Yeah, at that time, they closed down enlisting people for the Navy, you know, to join the war, as I say. And so I couldn't get in. So I don't know, I don't know, I failed. Anyway, all the different papers came down for the army, see? Well, I didn't like going to the army, did I? But I had it, we had a good friend. My father was a Methodist Sunday school teacher, see? He was superintendent. And the Methodist minister, a man named Ralph Elport, was the padre for the year, servicemen as all locally. And he said, hello, do you want to go in there? No, you don't want to go in there on this ramp. I said, no. I said, I want to go in the Navy. I think I should get Dad to send him the form to get me. And he said, I said, what I can do for you? So evidently he went into the labour exchange and got it altered that I should go for a medical. I already had a medical for the army, and a medical for me. So I went in there and I passed grade 8-1. And
what happened to you after that?
Well, I waited a while. And then I had the sent in, where did I go from there? Well, I had the tickets coming, you know, the train tickets, and I had to go to Skegness. That's where I first joined up, Skegness. Well, so I went all the way up there on my own. I had nobody with me, nobody seemed to be going to the Navy, they all seemed to be going to the Army. So I was on my own, and I went to Skegness. There I met several other fellows. One of them was he worked in the Years Old World office in London. So we joined up together, him and I. He didn't know what he wanted to do, what he had to do, so I got him through that lot. And we joined up.
What was the name of the training camp that you joined?
Skegness. HMS, oh, what did that name? You know what Skegness is, don't you? Well, it was there. I could tell you if I get some papers, I should tell you.
We've had a look at your papers,
yeah.
Your naval papers, and I think the training camp you were at was?
Royal Arthur.
And you actually joined the Navy in August of 1940.
Yeah.
Can you remember much about the training camp? For example, what happened to you on your first day when you just arrived?
We got pitted out with all the central things that we're supposed to have, into the sewing equipment.
Yeah. Do you remember what was in your kit?
Well, the collar, naval collar, and the trousers, and the jumper, and a few shifts, you know, trousers, pants, socks, shoes, rather boots and days. That's about all, I think, and a kit bag, and a kit, and a hammock. So that's what we had to cart around with us. And a hold all.
Did you have to sleep in the hammock from the beginning?
No, not at the camp, because there was like Bosnian camp and Butland's camp, wasn't it? That's famous. And from there, I want to go on it.
Could we just talk about, if you can, about the training you received? Do you remember?
Well, we did a lot of training there. That's what I was going to say to you. See, from there we moved over to Pafoorley, North Wales. And there we did our training, our marching, our kits. But we gave them a canvas there. That was quite horrible, that was. We had two or three nights were pretty bad. Windy, because we were down on the peninsula. There's a Butland's, they were building Butland's holiday camp there. And tenders collapsed during the night, one windy night. And it all got wet. All the gear got wet. Anyway, dried them out. We had a bit of sun the next day. Dried them out. Closed most of the clothes. But we had to get to the gate, main gate. We had to go over trenches and all sorts of things. And one of the incidents I can remember is getting up. We were supposed to be going ashore, you know, like they say in the Navy, going ashore. And we were going ashore. No doubt it was supposed to be. Well, not many hours, but just a few. And get up there. And I was sent back, and quite a lot for more of us, because our boots were muddy, climbing over these trenches and whatnot. Because they didn't have tanks across a lot of them, you see. And anyway, well, that was my first sending back for not being tidy.
So you couldn't go out?
I couldn't go out, no. So my first night ashore cancelled. Anyway, next time I made shore, and I was going to get out of a clean boot. So I took all the way around then, went a long way around, but then I went off a bit, started a bit earlier, because it was a long way from the gate, and then it started, you know, all the driest places I could find. It hadn't been raining, so that was a little bit better. Anyway, I clean boots when I went ashore the next time, and nice and tidy it was then.
What did you do when you went ashore?
Oh, we just went, we wandered around. We didn't have long, but we just went there and wandered around the town. Or the town, or Pawali it was called, anyway.
How did you react to naval discipline? And
I did not mind. I liked the unit, the feeling of being in a Navy. I know a lot of them didn't. Fought against it and everything else, and of course it went on WAL and all that sort of thing, but I couldn't understand it because it didn't worry me about doing a little bit of training. That was no problem to me. I was fit enough when I went in there, and then I was sort of keeping myself fit. So anyway, I passed the trade as a painter. Surprisingly enough, because in my days at my father's place, I also learned how to songwrite. My father was a really good songwriter as well, and I learned to be a songwriter. See, so I thought myself, I'll try and pass for a trade test, because that's one of the things you had to be, a songwriter, you see. So I went and did that, and I'd done a lot of other painting and all that, first class coat painting and everything, because you used to have to do it then to for the coaches and things, the wagons. So anyway, I didn't hear no more about that. So from there on, we got our training.
Do you remember anything else about the training apart from the painting?
Well, no more physical stuff, you know, what would you do for training? Marching and all those sorts of things. But that's very old.
Did you do any seamanship training?
No. No seamanship training at all. From there, we went back to Portsmouth.
How long were you in North Wales?
Oh, quite a few months, actually.
And was all of that time spent living under canvas?
Yes. Horrible. And then in a very nice place right on the peninsula, where Trafalli was being built, was one of the arms that went from the Welsh coast. It was a bit breezy, plus the fact that it rained most of the time. And I didn't enjoy that really. The tent. I didn't enjoy the tent part of it, you know. The life I liked, because I thought myself eventually would go to sea, and that's what I wanted to do.
So you went back to Portsmouth?
Went back to Portsmouth, and there we started doing our stokers training, like the engines and what they would do. And
sorry, your foot's just banging against the microphone. Sorry. The table.
Oh, we're awkward, aren't I?
No, it's just...
I'll put it right there. Yes, sir.
That's fine. If you just want to sit back, as you were before, that's great. Yeah, sorry. You say you started your circus training.
Yeah. The engines, the names of the engines, and what you had to do, and the stoking, like the fires, now they were sorted out. And, we had to do the coal training fires, which they didn't have anyway, them days. And the oil fuel fires. And also the pumps, you know, the steam, to do with the steam, the valves and all that. And that was the training. I can't, don't ask me all about it now, because I don't know. Anyway, yeah, we get all of that. And then Mark done a lot of marching and the firing, rifle firing. Normal things what you'd expect to do. You want to be a fighting man, you know? And anyway, sorted all that out. And then we were lined up one day to what ships we were going to. And one thing I can vividly remember was the fact that they were going along the Ramillies, and the Ramillies were the last one, and there, and then there was a Hood, and five ratings from just before I was the last one that he was coming to, and those five ratings were on the Hood, and I could tell you a little bit more about that, and I've met them again in Scapper Flow, on the jetty of Scapper Flow, just before the night they went out and got sunk from the, you know, battleship prisoner. Anyway, all five were killed, in fact. And I can remember them quite plainly, because we met on the jetty. I was just going back to the ship, well, they were going back to the Hood as well. So I was going back to the KG-5. And they were going back to the Hood. We had a yarn and what again. And remember on the days when we were training, of course. And anyway, it got up to my there, and I was sent to the KG-5. And I was the only one going from that post. There were about 40 of us, I think, training there now. I was the only one that sent to the Hood. Oh, I said, well, there I am, on my own again. Anyway, I got to the Hood, the KG-5.
What were your first impressions of this enormous ship?
Well, you think so? I'm not going to find my way about. See, and then I had the gear, all my gear to carry up there. And I was met up on there by a regulating officer. Chippy was, not Chippy, oldest male fellow. Anyway, he showed me what deck I had to go down and what mess I was in. And I would tell you the mess, number 82.
What was living in a mess like?
All right, fine. I had to do with the cleaning up and washing up, like your duty. There was a leading hand. He always allocated who was doing what, and he sort of allocated where he said, you're going to be a... I'm sorry. But, so that's how life was. I had to go and get the food. From the galley, and certain times, and then you all had to go down for your run ration. That was two more then that days, those days. I didn't used to drink.
What did you do? Did you get money instead?
No.
Or did you give it to someone else?
Yeah. I don't drink it. I didn't drink rum at that day. Otherwise, I do have a drop of rum now, so it's good for colds, you see. Anyway, but anyone strong enough to cure colds? I'll tell you about that later when I...